Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Yes, here's John Stanko, and it's time for another Wake Up to Purpose. A busy season as we are all seeking the Lord and seeking to understand what God would have from us. And in this particular season, I just did a Facebook Live a few minutes ago, and now I get to make a transition and do this and get to talk to one of my best friends in the whole world, Kent Estacola, who's waiting in the wings. She's on hold, and we want to hear from her in a moment about what's going on in Kenya. But then we want to hear some updates on purpose, too. And this woman is single-handedly responsible for bringing me back to Kenya in the early 2000s, and where I found the purpose message it just exploded on the scene, and people were very ripe for it then, very receptive to it, and they still are. But in the meantime, before we get there, we just want to be mindful of all of our friends, brothers and sisters around the world, not trying to make light or of anything that people are going through. And this is a time we need to be sensitive to one another, encourage one another, but at the same time, call one another to be the peculiar people of God that we have always been, especially in times of crisis. And on my Facebook Live, I just we looked at 2 Kings 6 and the story of the king that kept assaulting the king of Israel, but Elisha the prophet kept warning the king of Israel where his enemy was, and we looked at that story with through the eyes of faith. And my conclusion was the most important prayer we can be praying today is, open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes to see what I'm not seeing. Because and I'm not saying we ignore reality. When we look at the media reports, we see the seriousness of this pandemic and the lives that are being touched and some of the lives being taken. But it's all the more important that we not just look at what we can see, but focus on what we cannot see. And that's what's made us the peculiar people, is in times of crisis, we've marched to the beat of a different drum. We've heard things from heaven that other people did not hear, and what we heard from heaven determined the footsteps, that the path and direction that we were going to take. So on all of my media, and I've been doing something for a couple of weeks now, and just since Sunday have started up this blog radio show again, and my thanks to my friend Greg, who helped me pull the intro and the close off of my Wake Up to Purpose show that was an AM, was broadcast on an AM station here in Pittsburgh for 3 years. I stopped that a couple of years ago. But as has been my custom these weeks, we want to start out reading Psalm 91. I try to choose a different translation every day just to give us a little different perspective. The wording may just strike something in us that's particularly relevant and meaningful for us on this particular day. So this version is from the Good News Translation, GNT, as we were putting it into writing. And Psalm 91, this heading says, God our protector. Yesterday's translation says, the Lord is our fortress. So again, the various translations can have a different perspective, and that can add to our understanding of Scripture and the devotional value thereof. But Psalm 91 in the Good News Translation says, whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say to him, you are my defender and protector, you are my God, in you I trust. He will keep you safe from all hidden dangers and from all deadly diseases. He will cover you with his wings. You will be safe in his care. His faithfulness will protect and defend you. You need not fear any dangers at night or sudden attacks during the day, or the plagues that strike in the dark, or the evils that kill in daylight. 1,000 may fall dead beside you, 10,000 all around you, but you will not be harmed. You will look and see how the wicked are punished. You have made the Lord your defender, the Most High your protector, and so no disaster will strike you. No violence will come near your home. God will put his angels in charge of you to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands to keep you from hurting your feet on the stones. You will trample down lions and snakes, fierce lions and poisonous snakes. God says, I will save those who love me and will protect those who acknowledge me as Lord. When they call to me, I will answer them. When they are in trouble, I will be with them. I will rescue them and honor them. I will reward them with long life. I will save them. As I've said many times over the last few weeks, this psalm is where the rubber meets the road. This is where our faith is put into daily action. And so this isn't now something we're reading that's a detached meaning or a message that is not relevant at this particular time. It's relevant to all of us. And aren't we glad that God is our fortress, that we do have a place to go, that we do have someone that we can turn to and put our trust in. And for some of us, this is an important reminder that, well, this is not our home. We are pilgrims. We are passing through. And because this is not our home, there is a lot of uncertainty. There, nothing is guaranteed. Tomorrow is not promised to us. And that's why I'm encouraging people, however I can, whenever I can, to make the most of these days. Don't fritter them away in mindless, sense-deadening media that we have seen before or that has no redemptive value. Now, I'm not against entertainment. I watched a movie the other night, but that's not what I'm doing with my time or my days. My time and my days are invested in continuing to express what it is that God has showed me, being true to who it is that he has created me to be, and I want you to hear stories from other people who are doing the same thing, who I know are like-minded. And that brings us to my guest today, Madam Kenta Stacolo. Let me bring her live here. There we go. Kentis, welcome to Wake Up to Purpose, and thank you for calling us from Nairobi, Kenya. What time is it there now?
Good morning to you there. It's
you're right.
In the night. Yeah. Our day is closing, and in fact, our curfew began 8 minutes ago.
Okay.
So now, from 7 o'clock in the evening, we are expected to be completely indoors. No cars moving, and nobody moving except essential services.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And are people abiding by that, as far as you know?
Yes, to a good extent. Yes, we've had a few hitches where essential services have been stopped by the police, but that is being sorted out. This order is now 3 days old, and so as you'd expect, you know, we have teething problems. Nothing like this has ever happened before, and so
sure.
You know, it's something new for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the days like? When does the curfew end? And from your perspective, what have you heard or what have you seen during the daytime when there is no curfew?
When there's no curfew, of course, we have the social distancing that is being encouraged. And what we've seen are changes in the supermarkets, where they have mapped out the floor so that
mm-hmm.
you have distances between people. So they have actually marked the 1.5 meters differences. And everywhere you go, as you get into the malls, they'll take your temperature. They'll also give you a sanitizer. So, and some supermarkets are even giving us gloves, and then they're cleaning mm-hmm. out the trolleys. They're sanitizing them so that mm-hmm. you're using a trolley that has been sanitized. Mm-hmm. I was at the market, at the open market today. I went to buy some groceries, and a number of the people in the market are wearing masks. And people are trying to keep the social distance. You can see that it's not very easy for everyone because Kenyans are very expressive mm-hmm. and very, very sociable, but people are making an effort to follow that. The curfew is from 7 at night to 7 in the morning, and that means no movement at all. Not even the trucks that usually move in the night are moving. The public transport is not moving. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of a, of course, it's a bit of a an inconvenience for a number of people, especially those who normally travel overnight to go to, you know, in between the counties. But we just have to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
A number of employers have allowed staff to work from home. That's also a new phenomenon. We are not used to working from home, but that's what we're doing. In fact, we were talking about it today, a number of us, and wondering, once this pandemic goes, will people relook at the whole idea of working in offices? So those are some of the conversations that are going on. And so we get updates every evening at 4 p.m. And today, as usual, we got our update from the Minister for Health, and we have 9 new people who have tested positive, bringing our numbers to 59. Mm-hmm. So our numbers are rising quite a bit, mm-hmm. and it's a concern. In fact, a number of people are thinking we should go to a full lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you hear from the rest of the country? Do you have any contacts, or, you know, what you're reporting is Nairobi? Is any word or any insight into how the rest of the nation is faring or responding?
Remember, Kenya is now in counties. We've been divided into counties, and every mm-hmm. county has a governor. And so what's happening is that the national government and the county governments are actually liaising and working together. Our biggest concern as a country is that our health system is fragile. The question mm-hmm. is, can we manage to take care of patients if they, you know, the numbers rise? And what's happening now is that the counties have been asked to look out for schools, especially boarding schools, to see whether those can quickly be converted into isolation centers or treatment centers. And so that conversation is going on between the counties and the national government. We also have committees. There's a big, big committee that is made up of government, you know, key government departments like security, trade and industry, health, you know, the ones at the forefront of the fighting the virus. And they're together with the private sector. So we are private sector with them. And we also have development partners, you know, like USAID and ESID with them to see how they can have an effective response to this virus. Like I said, the biggest concern is whether our health system will be strong enough to manage large numbers of sick people. Mercifully, we so far have lost just one person to this pandemic, and we are hoping that we won't lose any others. One has been reported to recover, and so the 59 out of the 59, the 59 now, we are waiting to see who is actually going to get well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you mentioned how social Kenyans are. I'm curious. Churches have not been meeting. They're meeting online. What are your thoughts? What are you hearing or seeing? And how did that go?
For the first time, that was interesting. On Sunday, we had streaming of services. The beauty was that a number of mainstream TV stations allowed streaming of church services on their platforms. So that was very good. So we have a lot of live streaming going on, and I think we just have to start getting used to a different mode of worshiping. As you know, Dr. Stanko, Kenyans, we dance. We dance and we worship, we sing and dance. And so that now we couldn't quite do, not on our own in the houses. And so it will be an interesting time for the church. And I would imagine that many churches are now, trying to fumble around to see when else can they stream services. Now, why this is critical is that would be the place to run to. A lot of people will be running to the church, will be wanting to hear the word of God, and that will be critical for the psychological and spiritual well-being of Kenyans, most of whom are Christians. And so the church will have to very quickly adapt to this new mode of transmitting services so that people can be kept hopeful about what the Lord is saying and what he's doing about this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear of any churches that tried to defy the order, believing the government was interfering in the expression of worship of by the church?
There was one church that was in a rural area that was reported to have actually had people go, and they were actually dispersed. The police went and dispersed them.
Had a few over here. In fact, we had a pastor arrested in Florida yesterday because they had 3,000 people meet on Sunday in close proximity to one another, believing that that's what they were supposed to do and the government had no right to interfere. So it's going to be very interesting situation that plays out. And I just got an email from somebody with a message down in Florida advocating that this was the time for the people of God to meet together. So Americans don't like to be told what to do or not to do. So that is going to be a very interesting challenge. But you feel like, that first weekend that the church made its best efforts, and you think it's going to get better and more effective from this point?
Yes, I believe it's going to get better because, by the way, a number of churches have been broadcasting on radio already.
Mm-hmm.
I think for mainstream media, this is content. It's going to be very good content because at that time, most people on Sundays want to actually worship. So that will be good content for the media. Mm-hmm. They just need to partner with the churches so that we can get those who want to listen. Yes.
Yeah. Now, you have your own company, so tell our listeners a little bit about your company, and then talk to us about you're having to work at home. You know, how is that going? What are you learning? What have you yet to learn or yet to adjust to? But first, start by telling you know, a little bit about you and your current efforts in the marketplace, and then talk to us about working at home.
Impact Africa Limited is a public relations and communication company. We do public relations, communication, and that includes developing communication strategies, implementing them, and implementation includes different products such as you know, brand development and positioning, media and media training, media relations. We do a lot of reputation management, and we do behavior change communication. We do you know, different kinds of behavior change communication campaigns. We carry out campaigns, and so our work is creative. However, Impact Africa prides itself in doing research in order to develop the strategies that we do. So, for example, one of the accounts we have at the moment is to develop the communication strategy for the East African community. Now, the East African community is a regional organization that is made up of six countries: Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, South Sudan. And the first thing that we wanted to do was to carry out key informant interviews, which means, you know, talking to people, some surveys, some focus group discussions. And these we were supposed to start doing on the 18th of March. And unfortunately, this virus and announcements started coming from the various countries that could not, you know, they were locking up, and we couldn't go physically. Now, while we are ready as Impact Africa to do the key informant interviews using telephone, WhatsApp, Skype, unfortunately, our client is not ready. They mm-hmm. they just, you know, have not yet you know, made that decision that let's go ahead and get this done on the phone and so on. And so those are some of the challenges that we are facing. But now we are having to run behind our schedule. We are running behind our schedule because the client is not ready. And we are wondering, mm-hmm. how can we help them to move forward and understand that it will be the same quality of work, mm-hmm. you know, so the product will be fine. That's one. Two, we don't know for how long this lockdown is going to be. So, for example, Uganda is locked down completely. Rwanda is locked down. We don't know how long. So you can't keep work pending for that length of time. So I'm just trying to demonstrate the dynamics that we are having to face as a company, and so while we feel we have a good brief of what the staff are doing at home, we have provided them with airtime bundles so that they can access, you know, work online. We have staff meetings through Zoom, so uh-huh. so that we don't, you know, we keep people at home, but we keep work going on. Our clients are at different levels of understanding how uh-huh. these things uh-huh. can keep going. And yet we have another client, the African Telecommunications Union, for whom work is continuing. We are going uh-huh. on with the survey online. We're going on, you know, with telephone interviews. We are going on with the implementation. You know, we are having Twitter chats for them and so on. So it's about both the company and the clients, and whether we continue with work or get disrupted, I think would be like a two-way thing. And so it's important that we come up, you know, with some agreement, and that everyone understands that this can be done or the other cannot be done. Now, what I need to point out is that a major hit, and it's taking a hit because if people don't work, the question is, where do you get salaries from? Now, if you don't get the salaries, how will you then survive? And so, in anticipation of this kind of questions and this kind of problem or challenge, the government has announced a number of measures to try and cushion the economy. And for example, for small and medium enterprises, they have announced a reduction of personal tax so that employees can get a little bit more money. They have reduced the corporate tax by 1%. So they have announced a few measures. But the question is, you know, unless work is done, it's the same work that's being done, we are going to have to face up a challenge. And the economy will face a challenge with this slowdown, in work. This is something that we obviously have never experienced. And so it's almost like we are waiting to see what happens. We're trying to predict going forward, but so much is out of control, out of our control. Right. And so it's so unpredictable. All we can do is trust in God's provision and that he knows the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, who knows if we'll be alive?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah.
We're not guaranteed tomorrow. That's right. That's right. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Kentis Tokola from Nairobi, Kenya. Kentis is a communications and a public relations specialist and expert, has founded her own company, Impact Africa, and we're talking to her about the conditions in Kenya from her perspective. And so, Kentis, you're working from work. I mean, from home. What's your schedule like? What are your challenges? Has this been good for you? Has been surprising? Just share with us about that.
Wow. First of all, I have a 14-year-old son who is now working in school. There's an effort from their school to have them do some work online. It was a challenge. It's called Emmanuel. It was a challenge convincing him that they can't play in the field. In fact, I went there. I think he felt embarrassed that his mother went to the field and asked everybody to leave. There was no, belief that actual belief that something is wrong, and that evening after I'd asked, there were over 20 of them in the field playing, and I said, no, you can't do this. We have to lock down. Is when he started thinking that social distance means exactly that, you stay in your house and try and do things at home. Now, to mix schoolwork and his games, his PlayStation and other things that he's doing, reading, is quite a challenge. And so, for me, working at home means not just focusing on my work, but also being able to supervise what my son does. To make sure that we are all in the house, actually keeping that social distance that we are expected to do, and while at the same time ensuring that the work in the office.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an office, but that work is actually going on, and that we are on top of things for the clients that we serve. So the challenge is that we are having now to look at a teenager and make sure that this teenager is doing what he should, and at the same time doing my work. Mercifully, my advantage is I have a group of young people working with me, and they are on top of things. Yeah, they're quite on top of things, and so I get stuff to edit, to proposals to look at, and so on. So, that for me is very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's shift gears a little bit. This is Wake Up to Purpose, and the purpose message really was what brought you and I together. Talk a little bit about why you think the purpose message was received so well in the minds and hearts of Kenyans, and you can tie in our history, but just talk to us a little bit about what do you think is unique in Kenya that made so many people receptive and continue, as I work on social media, continue to be receptive to the message of purpose?
First of all, I want to say that I feel Kenyans are extremely creative. And Kenyans are highly talented, and what we have gone through, what we just need an outlet. We need an outlet, something that helps us to know who we are and what we really can do, and that helps to unlock us. I want to talk about myself. Before I met with Dr. Stanko, my history is such that, I first of all trained as a teacher. I'm a graduate teacher for biology, and I did some research, scientific research. So this coronavirus thing I understand because I did scientific research, specifically immunology. I worked on the vaccine for the East Coast fever. I was working in a very high-level laboratory, the International Laboratory for Research on Animal Diseases, which was, one of the CGIAR outfits. Now, while doing that, somebody felt that I would make a very good communications person, and out of trust, trusting this lady who, were in church together. She was much older than myself, a manager that was very well exposed in different places. I trusted her judgment over the thought that she had that I would make a very good communications person. That's how I moved from research and teaching, because I taught biology as a dean of students. I moved from there into public relations. While I felt that, this was something, that I did pretty well, I decided to go and study. So I did my master's in public relations, and I came back. But you read a lot, you read around, and a number of people say that what you need to do is just focus on one thing and know it and do a very good job of it. But, what does that really mean? And so I started asking myself, am I just a rolling stone, moving from research to teaching to public relations, should I have focused on one thing and so on? Now, I also know that I'm highly talented in music, I play guitar. I sing. And so I was saying, you know, why would I confine myself to just one thing? And one of the revelations for me was the DISC profile. When we did the DISC profile with Dr. Stanko, and my personality, it came out, my personality very, very clearly is such that I will not sit on one thing forever. I'm one of those people, creative, and I'll move on to something else. And I just started realizing that my purpose, but you know, purpose is so individual. It is so individual. I shouldn't be looking at somebody else who is successful just as a lawyer or just as an accountant and thinking, oh, maybe I should just have been a public relations person for me to be successful. No. Purpose is absolutely individual, and it's a call. It's a call it's your natural, you know, it's a natural thing that you get into, and when you get into it, you get lost. You will do it over and over. You will have energy for it. You are alive. It makes you alive. And I realize but that is you know what God does when He puts something in you. He ensures that you enjoy it, you love it, and that you flourish out of it. You flourish out of it, and it's never about the money. It's never about the money. It's about what it is that you're giving to the world. What is it that you're giving to the world, and not what you're getting from it. It's what you're giving, and so you find that time just flies when you're doing what it is that is within your purpose. And I learned to try and identify even my staff. We do a DISC profile with my staff. I want to know what were they created to do. And so I do not try to jacket them into different things. I like to find out what is their area of flow. What is their purpose? And so then we move them in, you know, in their purpose. And so even as we are creating teams, I try to create teams that they support each other as people move towards their purpose. And I must say that I've had some excellent staff members who have left and gone onto other things, and it makes me feel proud that Impact Africa was the place where we did our part in growing them, and so that we are helping them to move into their areas of purpose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is an unusual attitude, because, you know, a lot of companies feel, hey, we're not going to invest in anybody, and they're going to go leave, and they're going to, the benefit will go someplace else. So their thinking is, hey, if you want to better yourself, you do it, but we're not going to cooperate with it. But it sounds like you have a different attitude and perspective.
I'm the referee. they still come to me, they're asking about the next move. Would you advise me to go into this area and so on? So we remain good friends. We remain good friends with them, and I cherish the fact that I'm growing a group of youngsters. They all tend to be younger than me, who are able to contribute positively and better citizens than when they came into Impact Africa.
Yeah. When I was there in February, you brought your father along to some of our meetings. I need to ask, how is he doing, and how are your folks responding, to this scenario that we have never seen before. How are they doing?
It's funny. The day when the president announced that we should do social distancing and people, it was Sunday, the previous Sunday, and I was at home. I had gone to the village, and the night before, I had told my parents not to go to church. But you see, my father is a pastor, my mother is a pastor. And my father is turning 84 this year. My mother will turn 78. And so I told them about this whole coronavirus thing, and I said, you can't leave home, you can't go to church. I had been conducting some elections, football elections, and so I was tired. So I slept in, and when I woke up, my folks were not there. They had gone to church. And but in the evening, when the president made the announcement, luckily, they now listened. My father is a former administrator, education administrator, and so he knows when government speaks, he knows. And so he listened. So they are, it's very strange for them. Like I said, they are pastors, which means they are always
sure.
having guests coming home, and they are always going to visit in homes and so on. So we've told them to stay at home. And finally, the message is getting, finally get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you know, my mother-in-law is in her 90s, and we really thank God every day that she's very coherent and that she understands what's going on. I mean, could you imagine if she didn't understand and she would be wondering why nobody's coming to see her and, you know, why, well, where is everybody? But we are grateful that that she is she understands, but it's still a concern. I mean, she's in her 90s and we're 4 hours away, and so I know you would share the same concern with your parents. But you mentioned football, and I would be remiss if I didn't give you a chance to tell our listeners about when I was there, I saw your face on the news. And so talk to us about your involvement in the sports world.
I'm an ardent sportswoman. I played field hockey. I played a number of them. I played basketball. I was a sprinter, and I played, you know, I did long jump. But and I'm married to a cricketer. One of my sons is actually two of them. My son is my sons love football. Now, I got involved with a team called Wazito Football Club, we started it off, you know, as a university outfit. We would pay fees for footballers who could not afford their fees at the University of Nairobi. And so we created a team, and we started playing in the local leagues. And I insisted, being a PR person, that we would brand the team appropriately. So we created a logo, we created a website, and this team just started, you know, doing a good job. We would, train, you know, do personal development and take them through public speaking, you know, personal development, things like finance and social media. And eventually, Wazito Football Club actually went to the Premier League. And unfortunately, we didn't have a sponsor, and I don't have the money to really run it appropriately. And so we were in the Premier League for one season, and then we got relegated to the Division One. But then I was pitching the club to many, many different possible sponsors, and we actually got one. And so when we got a sponsor, I stepped back as the chairman of Wazito Football Club. But then early this year, I got a call from the Federation of Football Kenya, and I was asked to be the chairman of the electoral board for the Football Federation of Kenya. And so when you came, I was in the middle of conducting elections for the Football Federation of Kenya. And we haven't finished, of course, because of the coronavirus. We can't continue with anything. And so we hope that once this is done, I'll be able to finish off that mandate. So there is five of us on the board. I happen to be the only woman. It's football, soccer. I think Americans call it soccer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they call it soccer, not American football. And so one would expect that it's the men. Well, I'm there, and I think it's going pretty well.
Right. And so, you know, what do you see now for, you know, what are you sensing as we wrap up for, and none of us really have, you know, very clear vision, but just any thoughts or impressions personally or nationally that what may be happening or what's going to emerge out of this unique period in human history?
Wow, that's a very, very tough question because, like you said, it's a very unique time for the world, a very, very unique time, and unique to the extent that, you know, the U.S., which is supposed to be taking lead, is following. This virus it has actually brought the world to a standstill, literally, literally. Flights have been stopped, and of course economies are going to crash. Whether we like it or not, in my view, we are going to a place where we literally have to start afresh. It's like we are going to start. You know, it's like the car is going to have to be started, you know, afresh. Mm-hmm. The engine has stopped and we'll have to start. And perhaps it's a time for reflection. We need to sit back. It's amazing that people are looking at the environment. And all this slowing down is regenerating the environment. We have places where the pollution is going down. Wildlife that was previously, you know, going further and further away from the shores is coming back, and so on. So, is it a time for regeneration for all of us? Not just the environment, but for us as well. Because here we are in the eyes, and yet we are alive. You know, for as long as, you know, we don't have the virus, we are alive. What does that really mean? What does that really mean? It's a time for reflection.
It's so ironic that because the world is so connected, this has spread to almost every nation. But because the world is so connected, what we wouldn't have known about in the past, we were able to communicate to one another. So this global community, it's there. There's the two sides of the same coin. I mean, you know, it spread because of that, but the information spread because of it too. And to see the nations respond as quickly as they did has just been very fascinating to me from a communication point of view, which of course is your specialty. And the other thing for me is, You know, I've been preaching the social media gospel and trying to say to whoever would listen to me in a church setting, we need to be doing more to give the world access to who we are, a window in to who we are. And the church has been very reluctant to do that. In fact, some have just been downright adamant not to do it. And we're even seeing now in the States where some people refuse to give up their face-to-face connections and contacts, but many are responding. And I think doing what it was that God wanted us to do, he was giving us an option to do it. Now there isn't an option. I heard from my church this morning that they've set up all their small groups on Zoom, and they are their attendance is way up. Now, of course, that's because people have more time and people are under crisis and they're always going to turn to the Lord. But I'm saying, okay, we're trying to make the face-to-face work and things are going down. We go into technology and some things go up. What is the Lord saying? And I think it's, at least from the church's perspective, they've been slower here than business has been. It sounds like in Kenya, the church has actually been ahead of some business in engaging in the social media. So it's way too early to come to any final conclusions. And as you said, we don't even know, you know, how all of our health is going to be impacted and the health of our economies. But suffice it to say, and this isn't particularly deep, there are going to be serious, deep repercussions that are going to change the way nations, economies, and the world looks. And it's a very interesting time to be alive.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just like work is going to change drastically. Mm-hmm. Church also is going to change. Look at how information is being shared in so many different platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And information mm-hmm. is going around so fast. So fast. Such that clamping down on information now is a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Now information tends to come out. We have a lot of leakages from government, government information coming out and so on. So we are in a place where information is available. The question mm-hmm. is, how do you know which information is correct? How do you know
yes.
which is authentic? More mm-hmm. and more, we have to find ways of ensuring that we validate the information that we get so that we do what is right. Yes, church change the way it's being done. There are a lot of questions. I have seen a lot of information on Christianity, on spirituality, and so on. So we just have to step up. We have to step up
mm-hmm.
and know that this is not going away. It's
no.
going to get, more and mm-hmm. more advanced, and so we need to just get ready to go with it.
Indeed, amen. Well, I want to thank you for your time, and I know you're a mother and you're a business owner and a shopper and a football enthusiast, and for you to take time to talk to us today, I'm really grateful, and we'll stay connected, and if there's anything you think we need to know, and again, I know you're busy, but pass it along, and I'll make sure my watchers and my listeners and my readers are in tune with what's going on. We are praying for you. We know you're praying for us, and we're going to continue to do that. And our eyes are fixed on the Lord to see what he's going to teach us and what he wants to do.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And we continue keeping each other in prayer and connecting
mm-hmm.
as human beings, because that's what we
mm-hmm.
most that's what we are. We are connective,
yep.
And so we keep on giving each other a hope through him who has loved and given us the ability to just connect and encourage each other.
Amen. Well, give my love to your parents. Give my love and greetings to your children, to Tom, and let's stay in touch.
Thank you so much, and
my
love to your family too. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Mm-hmm. So long. Well, there we have my friend Kentis. There's so much we could talk about, and of course, it is premature to be coming to any conclusions. But I do think we're able to see some broad strokes here. That it won't be business as usual for individuals or organizations, and it's not too early to be open to those things and to put some things in place. I've been calling them spiritual orthodontics, that God is putting things in place, that is shifting things gradually and slowly, and only He really knows where it all ends up. But we're going to find out, and it will be the best of times and the worst of times, the challenging times and times that everything that we have held is going to be shaken, as Hebrews 12 says, so that what cannot be shaken will be what we can base our trust and our life on. So, again, my thanks to my friend Kent Testicolo for joining us from Nairobi. My thanks to you for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be talking to a local pastor here, Pastor Louis Ote, who is in the process of publishing a book, and we will be talking to him about that and a whole lot of other things. Thursday, Bongi Wanyika, who has just published a book about personal identity and some of the challenges she has faced, and right now she is parenting special needs at home, and so we want to hear how that's going and what she's learning from that. Friday, we have Howard Slaughter. Howard wrote a book, Addicted to Debt, and is a financial advisor, not in specific stocks and bonds kind of thing, but just in a more macro level. He's going to talk to us about debt, and he's going to talk to us about some steps, some commitments we need to take now, so that when we do emerge from this, we can be better prepared to face financial crises. So be watching for me on Facebook. I'm always there. If you need anything, you let me know. You have any insight, any reports from where you live, send them along. I'll make sure they get the information gets disseminated. This is John Stanker, your host for Wake Up to Purpose. We'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, you be about the work of finding and fulfilling your purpose. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.